As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. And you alone are my strength, my shield. Spirit here, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Lift your hands, sing this verse from your heart. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy.
Very few prayer requests this morning. We'll ask Brother Gene, if he don't mind, to come pray over these. Please continue to pray for Evelyn Kincaid. It's Philip Priest's mother. Intensive care, very serious condition, so let's remember that. Brother Baker's been having severe eye problems. Ask everyone to pray for him. Also for Brother Jackie and Sister Wilma Benton, healing for their bodies. So that's all requests. Please remember that that family that lost the sixth grader this weekend. Pray for him and his sister there, what they're going through. So let's remember these needs. Stand with Brother Gene as we pray this morning.
Let's just bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we invite you into the service this morning. We brought you with us this morning, God, because you said if we would assemble ourselves together, that you'd be in the midst of us. We come this morning desiring, Lord, to know more about you, to know more about your very being, God. Brother Don has been preaching about your face, God. Lord, how we want to see one day your face. How we want to look upon you, God. You're the one that died. You're the one that shed your blood that we could have life and have it more abundantly. We could never thank you this morning, God. There's not enough words in our language to thank you, Father, and to praise you, God, for what all you've done. Lord, you heal our bodies. You take care of us, Lord, when we're weary. You take care of us, Lord, when we're in trouble. When we're lonely, you always come around, Lord. You're always a friend, Father. We thank you today, God, knowing, Lord, that we can turn to you in a time of trouble, Lord, when there's no one else we could turn to, God, but we can turn to you. When we need healing, God, you're the one that we look to because you, with your stripes, we're healed, Father. We thank you this morning, God, for the opportunity to be here, and we pray your blessings upon this service. Pray your blessings upon these requests, God, that's been made known here, Father. You know the ones, God, that have been already mentioned, Father. Lord, your strength is much higher than ours. And your grace is much farther than us, ours, Father. So we ask this morning that you'll reach down in your tender mercy this morning, and you'll meet the need of this congregation this morning, God. You'll meet the need of the minister, God, that will come and break to us the bread of life, Father. May it go into our very being, into our very soul, our very heart this morning, God, that we can receive that, God, that would sustain us, God, when we need a lift, Lord, or when we need help, God, that the word, God, will come. And we can take the word and say, it was your word, God. So be it. So we ask that to be this morning, God. Touch every heart here this morning. God, many that are sick here, even in this congregation. Many going through trials, God, that we don't even, no one knows about, God. Lord, but you know every need. You know every little iota of a thing. God, you know every time a gnat bats his eye, God. So I know you know our problems this morning, God. So may we ask your blessing upon us this morning. Grant the very love of God to sweep through this congregation this morning. And may it, Lord, just touch every one of us, God, in a sweet way, we pray, Father. We'll not fail to give you all the honor and glory for it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Gene. You can be seated this morning.
Well, there is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees your soul from there. from sin.
That second verse.
There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The prophet gave the promise. The Spirit will descend.
Would like to come lift the tithes and offering this morning.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, meet you there. Anywhere, rain or shine, he's on time, any place, anywhere. Well, I know a man who can feed 5,000 anytime, any place, anywhere. Just 5 loaves and 2 little fish, anytime, any place, anywhere. Well, I know a man who can save anybody, any time, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can meet your need, any time, any place, anywhere. Through the storm,
knows my name, G. Yeah, we sing that first verse. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows my name. We don't have any specials this morning, so that's always a good time for Harry to help us out. It's always special when Harry sings. That's my hero.
He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the sea. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have the answer to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed.
He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
What tomorrow will bring, tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know the answers to all the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed.
He knows my name.
Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Every step that I take,
this morning,
every move that I make,
let's stand.
Every tear that I cry, my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name.
Jesus, draw me close. Jesus, death. Yep. I'm thankful for that this morning. I sure appreciate the word that we heard last night. I'm sure we got something good in store this morning. Let's pull on the gift. Let's sing as Brother Matt Watkins comes this morning. Jesus, draw me close.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to You. Draw me close, closer.
one more time. Jesus, grow. Jesus, grow. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, draw me close. We had a prayer request come in. Says Brenda Harmon had to leave church in an ambulance. She needs prayer. Amen. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, you said bring all your petitions, bring all your needs, bring all your burdens, Lord, to the altar. And so that's what we're doing this morning. Father, for this urgent request, Lord, that's came in, Lord, we believe that you're not the author of chaos and confusion, Lord, but you're the author of peace, Lord, that passes understanding. Lord, so we ask, O God, that in the midst of this trouble, Lord, may that peace be to that sister even right now, Lord. May you calm the situation and take control. The great physician is here. We believe that this morning, Lord. And we call upon you, Father, as a church. Lord, we bind our faith together. We take our licks of fire. Our faith, Lord, for this sister right now, oh God. We ask, Lord, as we offer, Lord, this prayer for her, God, may even right now you be an ever-present help in the time of trouble and distress. Lord, David said, I called upon your name in the time of distress, and you heard my prayer and delivered me. Lord, and you're no respecter of person, Lord, may you see to our sister in this time of need. Lord, in this family, may they have a confidence that you have all things in control. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You love the Lord Jesus? Amen. Amen. God is certainly good. Amen. Thank you for all the music, brothers. Well, God bless you. It's good to be here back in the house of the Lord. I trust that the word was a benefit to you last night. Amen. Something that was said that would be an encouragement to you and your walk with the Lord, knowing that we're all on different levels here this morning, all of us facing many different things, as the Bible says, manifold, diverse trials and temptations. Amen. We fight the same devil. Amen. Fight the same spirits. There's not any of us here that are fighting a battle that no one's ever fought. All of us fight similar things, but we all serve the same God. Amen. And He's more than enough. He's sufficient. Amen. As he told Paul, my grace is sufficient, Paul. You know what that word sufficient means? Enough. That's all you need, Paul, is my grace. Is that what your desire is this morning? Say, God, give me more grace. Amen. To fight the battle. Well, amen. We'll have you go to your Bible in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll have you turn. Thank you, brother. We spoke last night on understanding your cup of pain, and the Lord actually had us going in a different direction that flipped us on it last night, and so we'd like to go that direction. And I'm just bound as a servant of God to speak what He burdened me with. Amen. Not what I didn't come here to preach what you want me to preach or want to hear. Amen. And I know you wouldn't want me to do that anyway, but you want me to be obedient to the Lord as a servant. Amen. Knowing that God has all things in control. He moves in mysterious ways.
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is not subject to what man's desires or wants are, or what you think or what I think. Many times, friends, if we'd be honest, we don't even know what we need, really. Amen. Sometimes we don't even know. We think that we do, but sometimes we don't even know what we have need of. You say, well, I didn't need to hear that. Well, sometimes you don't realize because we're not sensitive to the Spirit all the time. But that's exactly what we need. So we'd like to just speak on this morning. I'd like to just continue from where we left off. Last night, I'd like to speak to you on peace in a time of discouragement. Peace in a time of discouragement. We're going to read out of the book of Philippians 4 and also 1 Samuel 30. We'll begin at 1 Samuel 30. It says, and it came to pass, When David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. What a day of infamy for Brother David. Could you imagine, after coming home from victory, and your city that you had homes and your wives and your children and your sons, and it's all burned, ruined, smoke, ashes. You could ask the question quite fairly, where's the Lord in all of this? How could this be the footsteps of the righteous or ordered of the Lord? My wife's taken captive, my sons, my daughters. You imagine the way that the devil began to torment his mind like a punching bag. Begin to torment his mind, filling with imaginations of how his wife was killed and how his sons had perished and how his daughters, not knowing at this point, David has no clue. He thinks they're all dead. And the Bible says that he came to the city, and behold, in verse 3, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captive. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. What a powerful scripture. David encouraged himself in the Lord. The Bible says in verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. He just came out of battle, and now he's going to go right back in. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. They made him drink water. Let's move on down to verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. This is the Amalekites who have captive their wives and their sons and daughters because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing. I love how emphatic the scripture is. There was nothing lacking to them. Nothing lacking to them. Neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters. This was the soldiers. They had lost all their wives, all the army, every man. That's why they wanted to stone David. All their wives, their sons, their daughters are gone. But the Bible says there was nothing lacking, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Praise the Lord. David recovered everything. Friends, it was such a victory that David had over the Amalekites that the Amalekites were not mentioned for 400 years. He whipped them. What a victory. Could you imagine whipping the devil so bad in your life you don't struggle with that ever again? In your life, it never bothers you and tempts you. Oh, you can have that kind of victory. I believe you can have that kind of victory where the devil doesn't bother you in that area of your life anymore. He beat them so bad, they're not mentioned 400 years. Philippians chapter 4, let's just look at a couple verses there. Philippians 4, if you have your Bible, if you do have a Bible, turn please. I know we have the screen for those that don't have it, but if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians 4 and keep it handy this morning. Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when money's in the bank. Rejoice in the Lord when you don't have no health problems. You're young and with strength. No, it says rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation or your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, or as to say, the Lord is near. Be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Be stressed for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And here's the verse we want to put emphasis on this morning. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Many times when you study for a sermon as a minister, you study sometimes for weeks. Sometimes the Lord gives you a thought months before and you begin to look at it. And many minister here would know sometimes for days, weeks, months, you look at things, you compare notes, you compare scriptures, you study it thoroughly, making sure there's no nuggets in there that God wants you to see. But I just preached this sermon just a couple weeks ago and I probably laid before the Lord for 4 days till midnight, go in my study and just lay there and lay there. It's the first time it's ever happened to me. Every time I went to study, I couldn't even hardly study. God would just call me to my knees to pray. And I prayed for hours and hours and hours. The Lord just moved in a strange way. But I believe He has something for us here this morning. Amen. So forgive me if things maybe it seems a little different this morning. I just want to speak to you from the burden the Lord has placed upon my heart. You believe He's mindful? Amen. Of you? He's mindful of that need that you have? Amen. He's the great shepherd. We believe that this morning. Let's go before Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as David said, I repeat the same words. I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We look to You, Jesus, this morning. Father, and You is all, Lord, as the Bible says, the giver of every good gift. Creator and author of heaven, Lord, and life and earth, we look to You this morning, the unseen. Father, may You come and do the exceedingly abundant, Father, in our midst this morning. God, the service will be only what each individual makes it. Lord, what they get, what they expect. We're taught so clearly. Lord, we only get what we expect. Father, may they pull upon the gift of God and the anointing of the Spirit that's here this morning. Lord, and may they receive what they have need of. Lord, it's our simple, humble prayer, Lord, this morning that when we leave this building, that our hearts, Lord, are not more callous to the Word. It's our prayer this morning that when we leave this building, our hearts are not more distant from You. They're not more cold on You, Father. It's our prayer, Lord, that our hearts and our lives are not backslidden further away from Your grace. Lord, but it's our prayer this morning that when we leave this building that we'll be closer to Jesus, that we'll be more fervent for His Word, that we'll be more on fire for the things of God. It's our prayer this morning that You draw us closer to You and that we grow in grace and in knowledge and truth in Your Word. Father, may You be with us, both speaker and hearer, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. David, as we read this story, and for any of you who Bible readers who've maybe read this story recently or did a Bible study on it, you find that this is David in a dispensation, if we'd call it that, in his life. And I've preached so many sermons on David. My middle name is David. Maybe it's because of that. But I've preached so many times, I think it's a powerful thing that God said he's a man after God's own heart. And his life was written and described in such detail, whereas other men's life, you don't have that 3D picture, but you do of David, and you see the struggles that he went through. You get to see his ups and his downs and his humanity and his Psalms. You even read the transparency that David has is just amazing to me, and always feel it. We can learn so many things and glean so many things from Brother David. David's life is, he comes to this place, he's not, when he comes to Ziklag, it's a time in his life where Ziklag, if you've looked at this city, it's a Philistine city, and David takes it from a king that he makes a pact with, and David has slayed Goliath. That's all in the past. He's slayed the lions, and those were great victories in his life, and he had slayed the bear, and those were great things and moments of great glory that David had, but that's all in the past now. And the boy that everyone was praising and his soldiers had fought for and called him the giant slayer, that was yesterday. And now for today, for David, he's been on the run from Saul. He's been on the run from another king who he's been anointed, but yet this king is still on the throne. And this is a king who's very jealous of him, but David happens to be best friends with his son. And David has consulted with Jonathan and said, "Why must I suffer at the hands of your father? Why does he seek to take my life?" And you find many Psalms where David, if you compare it with the timeline of his life, David is speaking of this struggle that he's having from this pressure that he's feeling. I've preached it here before, and I'll just repeat it again, that you can almost have two versions of David. You take version one of David is a David who has pressure in his life and he's stressed. And if you can just take and spend a moment in this man's shoes, he's constantly under pressure. And he's constantly under anxiety, and he's constantly feeling, you know, that just that urge to where he can never, seemingly, he can never just let off the pressure. He doesn't have that fishing hole he could go to and just, you know, spend time. He doesn't have that tree stand he could go to and just let off the pressure. But this is a man who's under constant turmoil and constant struggle. Yet this man has been anointed by the prophet. He's been told that he would be king over Judah, over Israel. He has been revealed to him the plan of God for his life, and the ultimate end of David's life is a crown where he would rule with a crown over Israel. God has told him his plan for his life, but yet the problem is that the reality of his life and the promise and the plan God has given him doesn't line up. And so many times in our life, God keeps us from the plan that he has for us because he knows the reality of our life doesn't always match the promise that he's given us. You take Sister Sarah and Brother Abraham, the promise God had given them, they could believe it, they could accept it, they could say amen to the word, but the struggle came when they looked in the mirror because the mirror didn't reveal the promise. The mirror, everything they looked at and everything they felt said, "I'm old, how can this be possible?" And so many times the struggle in our minds is we've been given the promises of God and we've been told the plan of God for our life, but when we look in the mirror, the plan and the promise and the reality are conflicting. And this was the struggle for David as he knew the plan of God. Yet here he is under pressure. As we said, version one of Brother David is a David who has trouble and struggle in his life. He has trouble on every side. He's being hunted down by Saul, and he's under stress, and he's living out in the woods, and he's living in caves, and he's running for his life, and he wakes up in the middle of the night at every sound he's waking him. And every time he hears something, he wonders, he's having to look over his shoulder if that's Saul. And he's constantly under pressure, constantly under stress. He's not had a bath in 2 weeks because he's been living in the woods, swatting mosquitoes and fleeing off snakes. And you take that version of Brother David and you say, "Boy, that sounds like a rough life." Now let me give you version two of the same man. He's got a castle. He has $10,000 in his
checking his savings account. We'll make it bigger, $100,000 in his savings account. He's a millionaire, a billionaire. He has a castle. He has the greatest car. He has the biggest house. He has no trouble. He has no worry. He has no stress. He has no pain. He doesn't worry about anything. And our human tendency is to go, I'll take that David. I'd rather be that David with no struggle or no pain or no pressure. But let me tell you what Bible history teaches us. There was never a more carnal, corrupt, backslidden David than the David without pressure. And the David without struggle. There was never a more carnal, backslidden, tempted man than there was when David had no struggle. And there was never a more fervent, more on fire David than the David who was running for his life and who had pressure and who had stress and who had worry and who had pain and had trials and tribulations. But my brother, he had a fervency with God. That's why the Bible says, think it not strange when fiery trials are to try you, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience. As Job, as we preached on last night, it was the struggle and the torment and the pain that caused Job to come to a resolve to where he could say, though I can't feel God or see God, yet he sees me and he knows me and he knows my name. Oh, brother, sometimes you have to say as the song that they sang, I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my tomorrow. I may not have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I've believed. And he knows my name. David, as he comes to this city in Ziklag, and you don't have to turn, but you can pull it up, 1 Samuel 27. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men. Now, what we do not find in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 27, we do not find it saying that God spoke to David and said, you shall now one day perish at the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for you, brother David, than you should escape to the Philistines. Is that what the Bible says? No, it's not. We don't find the text that says God moved upon the heart of David and told him, David, you know, I know I've promised you the crown, but you know, the pressure's really hot and you may get killed. You might just better go settle in Ziklag instead till things calm down. The Bible doesn't say that, does it? Pull that back up. 1 Samuel 27. David said, 1 Samuel 27 verse 1, brothers, if you have it. And David said in his heart, David said, not God said, David said in his heart. So many times we attribute the will of God and it's actually just the will of man. As I've said jokingly before, you hear the statement, I feel led so much. It almost sickens you sometimes. I feel led. Sometimes the leadership of God is really just the leadership of man that we call the leadership of God. You look at people's decisions and you wonder, did you eat led or did you feel led? You can laugh. It's just a joke. David said in his heart, David said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better. David, did you consult God, brother David? Did you ask God? Did you inquire of God? That I should speedily escape in the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair. In other words, Saul, just forget about me. You know, I know it's not, I know God has promised me this. God has promised me the kingdom, but here's the reality. Saul's running after me. I'm tired of the pressure. I'm just going to go settle in Ziklag. I just want peace. I just want to calm. I just want to relieve the pressure. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll, as the Bible says, you've hewn out with your own hands. You've carved out with your own fingers. God didn't build this. Don't attribute it to God. This is something you did, David, and you know good and well it's nothing more than a cop-out because you're tired of the pressure, you're tired of the trouble, you're tired of the struggle. And so David settles for false worldly peace. As many people have settled because of the trouble and struggle and the stress and the pressure, so many times people check out of the fight with the devil. Sometimes we get off the firing line because we're tired of the stress, tired of the struggle, tired of the pressure, tired of the questions, tired of the fears. And so David says, I shall now perish. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to contrive a plan and I'm going to go to the Philistine Achish. And notice what David does. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath and he sought no more again for him. You say, well, see there, David made a good decision and it worked. Yeah. Keep reading. David said unto Achish, if I've now found grace, verse 5, in thy eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. At that time, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And so David, because of the pressure, because of the trouble, rather than continuing in the struggle, David checks out of the struggle to settle and buy temporary false peace. And my brother and my sister, so many people have settled for false peace because if they'd be honest, they're tired of the struggle. They're tired of the stress. I know it's not of God and I know it's, you know, I got to repent for it, but you know, I just need a break, Brother Matt. You don't understand. I need a reprieve from all my troubles. I know I've not consulted God. No, I've not asked God. No, I've not inquired of God. But I just need a break. Can I get some slack here? Can you cut me some slack, God? Just give me a break. I'm tired of the pressure. I'm just going to settle in Ziklag. Ziklag's fine. It's a good city. I could have my children there. I could plant vineyards. We could build a home and everything will be fine in Ziklag. Oh, but David, don't you realize you're cutting yourself short? God wants to give you the kingdom and you're settling for Ziklag. God wants to give you the crown, but you're settling for Ziklag. Oh, why are you settling? But the crown means trouble, means stress, it means trouble. Oh, but the great will be the glory if you'll endure for a season. Oh, as the Bible says, the temporary light affliction of this present time shall not begin to compare with the glories that God has waiting for those who endure to the end. Oh, my brother, it is not revealed who's a son and daughter of God in he who starts the race, because many start, but the ultimate revealing is in he who finishes the race. And David has dwelt as many others have settled in Ziklag and they've built a house in Ziklag. They still love God. Listen, I'm not saying David didn't love the Lord. He didn't go and serve a Baal. He didn't go and serve a God of Baal. He didn't start worshiping and letting his children worship. You know, David did not backslide into the world. David just decided, I'm still going to serve God. I still believe in Jehovah, but I'm going to dwell in Ziklag. And many people have checked out because of stress and they've checked out from reality to fantasy. You say, oh, but I'm here this morning, Brother Matt, and I'm here. But are you really here? Oh, I want to challenge you this morning. You say, well, I'm here, Anna. Are you really here? Are you really here? Is your heart and your purpose is right? Or are you just fulfilling a religious duty and pressure of your conscience telling you you should come to church on Sunday morning? Are you really here this morning? Oh, as you take a company, you have employees who are there for one reason, check in and check out. They're there to collect a paycheck. They don't want to deal with any of the problems. Then you have people who bleed the company. They believe in the inspiration behind it. And God is not looking for soldiers who want to check in and check out on Sunday and Wednesday. God is looking for an army who says, I get behind my King David and I want to fight in the front lines for my King. Oh, can you say amen this morning? I want to be a soldier, brave and true. Keep on the firing line. And David's like many others has settled for false peace. David, as we said this word, and if you'll just turn quickly here to John chapter 14, if they want to pull it up on the screen. Jesus says in verse 26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," John chapter 14, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said, I have said unto you." Now here's verse 27. I want to key in on John 14, verse 27. Jesus gives these words and he says, notice this, "Peace I leave with you." Now, this is John 14. This is in the midst of Jesus' Gethsemane. This is in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the pain and the struggle. And Jesus is going to say, "I'm struggling right now, but here's my message to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." So the peace of God is a gift from God. Let me say it clear. It is your right to have the peace of God in your life. It is the inalienable right of a believer to have the peace of God. Oh, that makes me happy. I want to say hallelujah this morning. It is the right of the believer to have the peace of God. God is not the author of chaos. God is not the author of confusion. "My peace I leave, I give unto you." Not, notice, don't misunderstand. "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." I'm not giving you the kind of worldly peace. You see, worldly peace is very different than biblical peace. Worldly peace is very different than godly peace. Jesus says, "This is the peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but this peace that I give is very different. It's more than just a cliche. It's more than just a song that you sing. It's more than just something you learn about in Sunday school. Jesus is telling you, I'm going to give you a gift that you'll have throughout trouble and tribulation and trial and struggle. My peace I give unto you." You see, the worldly peace, as Jesus says, what is peace? As we ask that question, what is peace then? The world defines peace in these words, and you can give synonyms. Peace is the sense of calm and tranquility, quietness. Peace is bliss and contentment and well-being that you feel when you believe everything is well. I'm describing to you the peace that the world gives. It is bliss and tranquility. It's the feeling of just relax, that everything's okay. And when does this peace come? When you have no trouble and no trial and you have no problems and no issues. There's just a sense of, I'm just at peace. Everything's peaceful. This is the way that the Webster's defines it. It's a sense of peace, is the sense of tranquility, the attitude of a settled quiet that comes when you believe everything is okay and everything is the way that you like it. That's nice. That sounds so pretty. Oh, can we just read that again? Such bliss and peace, tranquility, no trouble. Everything's fine, no struggle. And let me say this, friend, this is the peace that people have settled for, but it's a false peace. Let me say this, it's a very shallow peace. Calm feelings, quietness, tranquility can be produced by a pill. Calmness and quietness and tranquility and calm can be produced once you get an inheritance of $50,000. Suddenly there's a peace and a calm. But let me say this, any manufactured or manipulated peace is fragile and can be broken at a moment's trouble. That's the peace that the world gives. And let me say, brother, many people have settled for this peace. They've settled for alcohol because it gives them a calm or a relaxation or a relief from the struggle and the trouble. Oh, my brother or my sister, if that's a trap and a snare for you, let me tell you, it's a fragile peace. It'll never hold you or keep you. But there is an alcohol. There is a stimulation of the Spirit of God that you can drink of that never passes away. They've settled for nicotine or drugs or some pill that they could take. Oh, we don't have a lot of drug addicts that smoke illegal drugs or take illegal drugs, but we got a lot of what we call religious pills. We have more people addicted to prescription drugs than they are illegal drugs off the street. Christians, believers. For the matter, are you hammering against me? I'm not, brother. I'm here to tell you, sister, God can set you free of that. You're settling for a false peace. You're settling for a false hope, and it can shatter you in a moment's notice when you don't have it. You're shaking and you can't breathe, and you've got to have it. And it's an addiction that the devil, and a snare and a trap that the devil has trapped many people. False peace, peace of feeling. You say, what's wrong with feeling of calm? There's nothing wrong with that. And all those things God gives you. All those things God does give you, and they're attributes of peace. But let me say this, that kind of peace can be produced by a lie. Some people are living a lie of peace. They can be produced by a deception. They can be produced by a nap. You take a nap, you feel peace. You go to Disney World. You say, Brother Matt, is there anything wrong? No, not necessarily anything wrong with those things. I do many things in my life and have many pastimes that I enjoy to try to just get a reprieve from the world and the rat race and the struggle. But let me say this, my brother, with every temptation, with every struggle, Satan will always give you the route out. Satan will always give you, with every struggle that you go through and the pressure, Satan will always give you a plan for exit. And settle for false peace and false hope. Money can be a false peace. We realize the world thinks that all we need is to fix the debt and now we'll have peace. Friend, that won't be no peace. That doesn't produce peace. The world's at calm. Look how fast, how quickly China cheapens their economy, their money, and boom, just like that, the stock market crashes, and people are starting to talk about the depression or the economic crisis of 2008 happening again in September. Just when everyone started to breathe easy, things are getting better. Finally, things are getting better. And then suddenly, overnight, just like that, it's gone. How quickly peace can leave. We have the term to be at peace, to have peace with God, but you also hear the term and the cliche many times used, to be at peace with God. We say it when a loved one's passing. Was they at peace with God? Are you at peace with God? What does it mean to be at peace with God? What does it mean when you can say there's nothing between my soul and my Savior? Oh, my brother and my sister, many people run from this question. They run in their entire life. That's why there's multi-million dollar industries who make millions of dollars a year on facial creams and skin creams and vitamins and pills, trying so hard to push off death. We try so hard to get away from that question. We push it off, and I've watched so many people live their entire life seeking the best doctors to try to keep them alive. You take the best millionaires, even the man Steve Jobs, who created Apple, had the most money, had more money than they could buy the best doctor, the best drugs, the best procedures, and it still didn't save him. And all of his money, he still went to a grave. But people try to push off the question. You say, Brother Matt, is it okay? Should we dwell on death? And I'm not saying you should dwell on death or be morbid. But listen, friend, you should have a healthy respect that your life is just a vapor and it could be gone tomorrow or tonight or in this service. You have no idea what could happen. You don't have no promise of tomorrow. And I ask you the question. It may seem simple, but let a simple preacher ask you, are you at peace with God? Do you know Jesus? Oh, Jesus is love, but I say Jesus is peace. He's the very characteristic of peace. Do you know Him this morning in the power of His resurrection? Or have you pushed off that question so far out of your mind? None of us wants to die. Listen, friends, some people they live their entire life and they die a scared person, not knowing where they're going to go when they take their last breath. Afraid of death, afraid of the end. What does the end mean? Even Christians can be. I'm not saying that, it's natural. All of us want to live. Death is not part of God's plan. It was the fall that brought forth death. None of us want to die. None of us. You can be righteous as you want to be. Haste the day. Listen, friend, there ain't one of you that wants to die this morning. All of us love life. We love life. We love health. And it's okay, but it's an attribute of God. But you should have a respect and a realization that your life is fleeting. Every single day your health is wasting away. Every day you get older. Every second you're fading. You better answer the question while you still can. Do you know peace? I'm not asking you if you know a Sunday school lesson or you had a mental agreement or assent with a story about Jesus. Oh, my brother and my sister, I'm asking you this morning, ask yourself the question, do you know Him? Do you really know Him? Oh, you may not say amen, and it may not be loud in here. I don't mind at all. I want to ask the question, do you really know Him? Do you really know Him as your Savior? Have you really been buried with Him in baptism? Have you been regenerated unto life? Have you died to your passion and your pride and been born again by the Spirit of God? Is death a question that scares you? Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon says, to everything there's a season. To everything, a time to give birth, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. God appoints your birthday and He appoints your funeral if you are going to have a funeral. So, but Brother Matt, we're all going to go in a rapture. Yes, we believe by faith, but every generation before us believed they would go in a rapture. And I believe there will be those who don't taste death. And I believe I'm part of that number. But I want to have a healthy respect to say, if my life is gone and tomorrow is my end, is it clear between my soul and my Savior? Do I have that peace that passes understanding? Do I look at door as just a doorway that leads to another dimension? The trouble so many times is that we fail to number our days. Do you know David even prayed that? David said in one of my favorite Psalms, and it's in Psalms chapter 90, David says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is David meaning? Friend, this one verse was one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had in God. Many different times the Lord has came to me and spoke to me in powerful ways and services through tongues and prayer. But never ever has it been this magnificent, if I could use that word, of a time when I was laying in a basement in a preaching some meetings, and in the middle of the night God woke me up out of nowhere at 3 o'clock in the morning and inspired a verse I'd never even read, begin to read my Bible, and God began to bring before me the faces of my children and my wife and my family and my brother. Let me tell you, I cried for hours until that morning. I cried out to God, because I realize that life is fading and flowers around you are quickly growing and fading. What are you doing with your time? Are you spending your time in effortless and valueless, pointless things? Or have you realized that the things that are most important and most valuable in life are quickly fading away? And I prayed on my knees in that basement and said, God, teach me to number my days. Teach me that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Let me live every day and make every day count. Some of us fathers and mothers and children and different ones, I don't care who you are, what level of life you are, stop and slow down for just a moment. Satan wants to put you on the rat race and the busyness of life and make you forget. And you get 15 years down the road and you look back and say, where did time go? When did time go? Your children are only young once. Be a father to them when they need a father. Your sons and your daughters are only young once. Make sure you live and breathe every moment. And make sure there's a testimony that they see a man of God and a woman of God who will stand with them and pray with them and plead with them. Not a dad who's always going and busy at work trying to build the next new house or the next nicest thing. Not a mom who's so busy and caught up in social affairs that she misses the life of her children. God told me to preach this, and I'm going to preach it. David said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Heard it said that a man who, let me just find my place here. A wise man once said, the fool spends his time, but the wise and prudent invests his time. The fool spends his time, but the wise and prudent invests his time. It says also in Psalms 90, the days of our years are 70 years, if by reason of strength they may be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Soon cut off. How many people's lives have came to a premature end suddenly? Let me ask you something. If God was to reveal to you that next week that your end and maybe your life is going to end. Friend, we don't want to be morbid this morning, but let's face reality here. You don't have the promise of tonight or tomorrow. David even asks that question in another place in I'll read this verse, Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. David says in Psalms 39, he asks a very honest question of the Lord. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. Could you be honest enough to ask that question this morning? Could we be honest enough to say, as David said, Lord, show me the end of my days. Show me my life's end and the number of my days. You say, why would David even want to know this? Because David knows that there's a spirit of rush and move and push. And David says, Lord, I want to live and make sure that I'm living every moment of my life and I'm not pushing to tomorrow and chasing dreams of tomorrow when I'm missing what's happening all around me. David was a man who didn't want to live with regrets in his life. As he looked back on years down the road, he'd become an old man. He wanted to look back on his life and know that he applied his heart unto wisdom, that he made every day count, that he wasn't spending wasted time and wasted things. Oh, friends, I'm not saying that we don't do anything hobbyish or anything for recreation, but my brother and my sister, are you spending your time on what's really important? Think about it just for a moment. How are we spending every day of our life? Are we spending it with the people that we love who God's placed in our life? Or are we neglecting our children? Oh, I pay the bills. I go to work. I'm home, ain't I? James says life is a vapor. Life is just a vapor. It's here today. It's going tomorrow. Many people run from this question. As we said, many people push this question off because they have no peace with God. They don't know Him in the power of His resurrection, and they're living every single day trying to push that question away from their mind. You think, and you're under the deception that you'll just keep living and living and getting stronger and stronger. But my brother, my sister, let me wake you up this morning. This life is nothing more than a life full of troubles and sorrows. They wait for tomorrow. Oh, the only peace that you can find is in Jesus. The only portion that you could find of joy is not in this world and its vain riches and its vain recreation and entertainments. All those things are a false deception. They're a false hope and a false peace. But Jesus, in Jesus there's peace. In Christ there is thanksgiving and peace. The only real peace that we'll have in this world is not when we get the next president or some Republican or Democrat or something. Listen, friend, all those things are just a system waiting to fail. The only peace will be the peace when God sets up His kingdom. And I say, Lord, hasten the day. It's the only peace and reprieve for the believer. Oh, the kind of worldly peace people have settled for. You can get it from, as we said, it can be produced by drugs or alcohol. Calm, peace, tranquility, a well-being produced when maybe you get an inheritance of some money and then you get a sense of peace. But guess what? It can all fade just like that. That's not the kind of peace Paul has in mind when Paul says, I pray the God of peace grant you peace every day. Listen, friend, the peace that I'm speaking of is not the peace that can be induced or fabricated by money or by drugs. The peace that Jesus said, I leave with you, is a peace that's not just about how things are going good. But Jesus says, my peace is a supernatural anointing that every believer has a right to. That when you're in the middle of the belly of the whale, there can be a peace that passes understanding. Oh, when you're in the middle of the fiery furnace and the fire's been turned up 7 times more hotter, there's a fourth man in the middle of your fire who will be with you. Oh, the kind of peace that we're preaching about is the kind of peace that Stephen had when the Bible says he was being stoned and the Bible says that his rocks were being slung upon him. Stephen has such a peace. He says, Lord, forgive them and receive my spirit. You see, this is the kind of godly peace that God gives. It's a peace that the Bible says in Philippians transcends your human understanding. You say, what does that mean, Brother Matt? What is the peace God gives? The peace God gives is a supernatural peace that you can say, though He slay me, yet I'll trust Him. The Lord God giveth and the Lord God taketh away. It is the peace that the three Hebrew boys had when they said, listen, our God is more than able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. Our God whom we serve, what was it, Nebuchadnezzar, in the face of threatening and intimidation, they had a calm sense about them that they knew, my God is more than able. He's more than able to deliver me from the fiery furnace. It was a peace of God that I'm speaking of to you this morning. What was it? It was a supernatural anointing that anointed these men that in the face of danger and in the face of trouble and the face of trial, they could still have a sense of calm about them. They could say, our God whom we serve is more than able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. Is that your testimony today? To say, the God whom I serve, I'm not looking at the circumstance. I'm not looking at the fiery furnace. I'm looking at a promise in God's word. And the God whom I serve is more than able to deliver me. Oh, but a drug could have produced that kind of faith. Let's go further. They said, even if our God does not deliver us. Is that what they said? They said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, make it known unto you that even if we perish in that fire, we still won't bow. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. They said, even if we perish in the midst of a fiery furnace, we still won't bow. What was it? They had a peace that passed human understanding. It was the same peace that Jesus had when He came before Pilate. And Pilate said, there was such a calm about Him. He said, don't you know I have the power to give you life or to give you death? And Jesus said, because He had a peace down inside of His soul, Jesus said, you have no power over me but what my Father in heaven gives you. This angered Pilate because he never spoke a word. The Bible says he uttered not a word. What was it? He possessed a peace that passes understanding. Oh, friend, is that the kind of peace that you want this morning? I said, is that the kind of peace that you want this morning? To say, God, don't give me a peace of the world that can fade and crumble and shatter at a moment's notice. Give me the peace that when I'm in the middle of the fiery furnace, when I'm going through and struggling, I can't understand what's happening, yet I'll still praise you. Yet I'll still worship you. Oh, you could serve God and you could worship God when the going's good. But can you today, this morning, raise a hand to God and say, I'll serve you and I'll praise you no matter what I'm going through. Oh, my brother, the kind of peace we're preaching on this morning is the peace that Paul and Silas had in the prison. The Bible says that when they were arrested, notice, arrested for delivering a young woman of a spirit, and now they're arrested, bound in fetters and chains. Could you imagine these men? After preaching a sermon today, what would you think of me after I preached the sermon today? You walked out in the parking lot and there were sheriff's deputies. They stripped me naked of my clothes and beat me and flogged me, arrested me, and took me to prison. Some of you would say, not sure about that guy. He must have been a secret sinner. Must have had sin in his life somewhere. Hello, somebody. This was the story of Brother Paul and Brother Silas Wright coming out of a deliverance service. They're arrested, beat, flogged, stripped naked, put in a prison. If anybody would have had an excuse to be depressed, if anybody would have had an excuse to be downtrodden and downcast, as Brother Jewel says, wowsy, wowsy, woo. If anybody had a reason to come to church and fold their arms and sit there and not worship and not say amen, it was Brother Paul and Brother Silas. But my Bible tells me that in the midst of the prison, they begin to sing songs and praise to God. In the midst of their chains, in the midst of their blood and torment and beating, they begin to sing, my God reigns, our God reigns. Could you imagine the other prisoners? Did you hear that? Hey, John, weren't these the guys that were just beat out there and the crowd was screaming and the soldiers? What are they singing? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Did you hear that? Don, do you hear that song coming from over there? I think I hear it. Is that those same boys? As Paul began to sing and as Silas began to worship, he's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. You mean the same men that were just flogged and beat and stripped naked are singing and worshiping, and suddenly the Bible says that the prison begins to shake and the earth began to shake? What was it? They had a peace that passed understanding. It was an anointing that came upon their soul that in the middle of their hell, they began to worship. They begin to sing, I bless your name. I bless your name. The Bible says that the earth began to tremble and the prison began to shake. And you imagine these men as the soldiers watch these two men in the middle of their trial, in the middle of their desperation. Oh, my friend, can you worship him this morning in the middle of your hell, in the middle of the dungeon of your life? Can you raise your hands this morning and say, God, I worship you in the middle of my dungeon, in the middle of my hell, in the belly of the well? Oh, you ought to worship him more than that this morning, friend. You ought to give him the praise that's due his name. To say, God, no matter how I feel, no matter what the situation looks like, you're worthy of my praise. The Bible says that as they begin to sing, their chains fell off. As they begin to worship in the middle of their hell, the prison cells begin to break open. And guess what? They went free. They went free, but guess what? Paul and Silas wasn't the only ones who went free that day. The Bible says every prisoner that was bound went free. Oh, I guess you didn't hear me. I said every prisoner that was bound went free. Every person that was bound went free. Oh, don't you realize when you can get victory and praise Him, when you don't feel like praising Him, and when you feel cold and stagnant and stale, but you begin to raise your hands to God and give Him a wave offering and say, Lord, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, I worship You. The Bible says every person who was bound went free. Oh, that we could have that kind of a church service this morning. Every person bound by nicotine went free. Every person bound by alcohol went free. Every person bound by pornography went free. Every person bound had freedom that day. Oh, give Him a praise offering this morning, friends. Glory to Jesus. It was a peace that passed understanding. You see, this is the peace that Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, but my peace. Lord, I want Your peace. I want Your peace. When I'm in the belly of a well and it doesn't make sense and I can't make sense of what's happening, I want to praise You even then, Lord. When I have to go into a fiery furnace and it seems like death is near, Lord, I want to praise You even then. Because I know that in the midst, it wasn't until they begin to praise Him. Oh, don't miss it. It was not until they worshiped Him in the middle of their pain that the fourth man appeared. It wasn't till they begin to praise Him in the midst of their chains that the earth began to shake. Peace that passes understanding. This is where David finds himself in 1 Samuel 30. We see such a hard time for Brother David as we get back to our text this morning. As we read, David comes to Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30. If you have your Bible, just turn there with me. We'll read it one more time. He comes to this city and no doubt he's coming from victory. And David is not expecting what's about to happen. He thinks everything's going to be fine when he comes home. He's been anointed king. He settled in Ziklag, but the Bible tells us that when his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. What a shock that Brother David had when he comes home. Now, Ziklag, as we said, as history teaches us, or the Bible tells us the history of it, that he comes and he settles for this city, Ziklag. And now David didn't realize, but Ziklag is going to cost you, David. Ziklag is going to cost you your wife, your family, your sons, your daughters. Oh, but it was just reprieve. It was just relief. I was just doing it to catch a break. But it's going to cost. It's going to cost you, David. I remember the story of Jacob. I think it, Jacob, when he goes to Shechem. And David loses his daughter. She's violated and took by one of the men of Shechem. And Jacob had no clue that as he went, instead of going back and worshiping God, Jacob goes, and now it cost him his own daughter. Do you realize sometimes the choices that we make, what they cost us? David comes to Ziklag and he pulls up and he sees as they come from 50-mile journey, 3 days. The men are tired, from weary from war, want to come home to maybe a nice hot meal, see their wife, their children come running, embracing their arms. Here they're fighting for this man, David. David thinks he's in the will of God until he comes upon the crest of that last hill. And they look down, and smoke's billowing from Ziklag. Imagine the distraught feeling and the depression that suddenly settles in as they begin to look, and the men begin to run through the city, looking, calling for their children, calling for their wife. Nobody's home. Everybody's gone. They took all the sheep, all the oxen, all the goats. They took the women, the children, everything. David comes to an end of himself. As we read last night in Psalms 38, David begins to say this prayer. This struggle he had within him. David begins to become discouraged. I can imagine he was discouraged as he thinks everything was just going to script. Everything was going as planned. But now his wife is captured. His children are gone. David begins to become greatly distressed and troubled. And the Bible says that the men begin to speak of stoning him. Could you imagine? Here are these same men that were fighting with him, that were standing by his side just a few days ago in battle. Now David hears the murmuring. It's all his fault. Had we not listened to him and went over, we wouldn't be in this mess. Now look, can you imagine the mind battles that these men were having? They begin to wonder about their kids and their family. For all they know, they're dead. You'd want to blame somebody. David can ask the question, is this how the righteous are rewarded, Lord? What have I done? What have I done? Now my wife and children and home and family burned and gone. And now even my own men, my own friends, no one's there to comfort him. No one's there to encourage him. No one's there to pray for him or to say, it's okay, David. Oh, and David's remembering, no doubt, Samuel anointing him as king and Samuel pouring the anointing oil upon his head. And now it doesn't make sense. He sees the promise. He remembers the promise, but he looks at life and reality and there's a problem there because the promise and the reality are not lining up at all. He knew he was called, specially chosen to take the throne. He knew the crown would eventually be his. David had a visitation from God. He spoke with God. He pleaded with God. He was zealous for God. And now it can come over as he stands there upon this burning ruin of his life. And David's looking at all his mess, not knowing if his family was dead or alive. The torment of his mind. He's thinking, after everything that he's went through and all the struggles and trouble he's went through, after finally finding a home, after finally having some peace for a year and 4 months, you didn't know though, David, it was false peace. You think you've gotten peace because you've neglected the word of God or neglected the plan of God, took a job that you knew you weren't supposed to take, took you out of church, took your family out of church, took you away from your home church, but you got money. Oh, but I got money, no trouble. Oh, brother, it's false peace. Finally, he gets some reprieve. Finally, he gets some peace. Finally, things are settled and calm. It's all going to be okay. But don't you realize, David, to hold Ziklag, you're going to have to fight with your hands. You're going to have to fight and keep everything you got. You're going to have to do it all yourself. When God wants to give you a kingdom that cannot be shaken, God wants to give you a kingdom to where he'll fight your battles. But you've settled and hewn out of your own hands the city. Are you with me here this morning? And all this false peace begins to settle in upon David and he realized. Now, us here can read the Bible and we have the privilege of reading the end of the story. And we could say this morning, even though David didn't know it, God was right in the smack dab middle of this tragedy. God was right in the thick of it. God was trying to teach David a lesson. God was trying to bring David to something. But brother David had no idea. Brother, do you realize sometimes when you think God's forsaken you and God's forgotten about you and you can't see God in any of it, God is right in the middle of it. He's right in the middle of that night of lonely pleading prayer and you think all's been lost and all's forgotten. But just remember, joy comes in the morning. David had no clue, but God was in control of everything. And my brother, my sister, that's exactly what the peace of God gives you. It gives you a peace to know God has it all in control. I may not understand it, but I believe God has the situation in control because he is peace. He is the author of peace. Let me tell you, my brother, He is the author of peace. He is peace Himself. Peace is not an attribute of God. Peace is God. Oh, can I preach to you just here for a moment? I said, peace is God. It's not just an attribute of God. Peace is God. He is peace. There is no lack of perfect peace in the being of God. At all times, God has perfect peace. He is never troubled by anything. He never struggles with anxiety and pressure over anything. Let me tell you, God never worries for one second. He never doubts. God never fears. He's never in discord with His own self or His own will. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Satan is not omniscient and all-knowing. Don't you forget that. Satan cannot be every place, everywhere, all the time. But my God, whom I serve, can be every place, everywhere, every time in my life. He's never at a cross with Himself. God is never unclear about what He wants. He's never unsure about what He thinks. God is never threatened. In God is a perfect calm. In God is perfect tranquility. In God is perfect control. Why? Because God knows He's in charge of everything and everything that happens. He's operating everything, both good and both bad. Everything is according to His own will or exactly how He wants it at all times. There's nothing ever in the entire universe that catches God off guard. Oh, can I preach about God here just for a moment? There's nothing ever out of cater. He's never surprised by anything. There are never no sense of unknown or unaware to God. He never changes. He never doubts. He never fears. His wrath, even His wrath, is perfectly controlled. He's not an angry God who just gets angry and slaps somebody. His wrath is even perfectly controlled and orchestrated. He is perfect in every way. And let me tell you, that same God made a promise. The peace that I have living inside of me, I give it to you. I said the peace that passes understanding, I give it to you. In every situation, you can have a perfect calm and peace from Jesus. Let me tell you, there's no sinner that can stand before Him that His grace can't save. I don't care how much in sin or bound your loved one is, or your friend or your family. I don't care how bound it seems. There is no sinner that can stand before the grace of Jesus. But God can't save. There's no possible sin that can stain His holiness. He is perfect in every way. There's no guilt in His mind. There's no shame in His mind. There's no condemnation in His spirit. He is perfect in peace. There's no regret in His mind or His person. He's never said anything that He didn't mean. He's never done anything that He has to take back. And this same person, by the Spirit of God, is living inside of you, my brother and my sister. That same God who's perfect in every way. Oh, can you rejoice with me this morning? That same God who's perfect and calm lives inside of His family. He enjoys perfect harmony with Himself. He is peace. That's why the Bible calls Him the Lord of peace. I want that Lord of peace to rule over. I said I want that peace of God to rule over my life. I want that peace just to cover me and enshroud my family. Oh, I want you to take that situation in your home or your marriage or your family or your church. Raise your hand and say, peace of God, would you cover me this morning? Peace of God, in whom there's no variableness or no shadow of turning, would you cover me? May the God of peace and all comfort. David comes, and the Bible says, as we read it, the Bible says, he comes to this moment. Little does David know, God's right in the thick of it. And David hears the murmurs and the complaining. Amen. Amen. Preach it, brother. Imagine as he's watching. What did I do? If there was ever a man who should have folded and crumbled under pressure, could you imagine if you were responsible? You were responsible for all these soldiers who fought for you, and now you're the one to blame for their death and their families and their wives and their children. Imagine the guilt as David begins to hear the whispers, "We should stone him." They begin to blame him. Begin to blame him for everything that's happened. I can imagine David's 600 men, bows, swords scattered on the earth, shields laying down. Takes a lot to make a man cry, but let him lose his family. It'll break that man to his inner core. Soldiers, men who were calloused from battle. Now those same strong warriors weeping. The Bible says they cried and wept until they had no more tears to cry. And here's David in the thick and middle. As they cried and cried and cried, I can see soldiers on their knees at their homes picking up maybe tarnished pieces and memories, something burnt of one of the homes, and they've seen something of one of their possessions, of their wife or their children. You can imagine as their hearts begin to crack and bleed, and they begin to be under such torment. And now David himself, all of the attention focuses on David. And now everything is coming back to his mind. And I can guarantee you the question he's asking is why, Ziklag? Why did I do this? Why didn't I just stay on the front line? Why didn't I just stay? The pressure was hard, but this is much harder to bear. Imagine the guilt of his own decision when he came. But I can see Brother David as the men are weeping and wailing and sore crying, and everyone's crying and pleading out to God, cursing and blaming David. It's all your fault, David. My wife is gone. It's all your fault. Listen, my brother, this was not, there was nowhere that David could find encouragement. There was nobody who was going to give him an encouraging word. There was no child to hold his hand. There was no Jonathan to encourage him. He was all by himself. But I could see David all by himself, sitting over there, tears streaming down his face. But then suddenly, David, something deep weighed down on the inside. The prophet of God said, "Hey, not my baby, Lord. If you take my baby, I won't even serve you." He said, "But something down on the inside of me grabbed a hold of me." And he said, "Something I didn't even know was there." He said, "Grabbed a hold of me and held me." I imagine that something from David as he's crying and weeping. I can imagine David sits there in the dust and dirt as his tears begin to stream from his face. And David can't find encouragement from any brother. He can't find encouragement from any sister. He can't find encouragement from his pastor. He can't find encouragement from a brother. He can't find encouragement in anybody. But the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He began to encourage himself in God. Oh, brother, don't you realize sometimes God doesn't want you to draw from the well of your brother or your sister or your pastor or a preacher, but God wants you to come to the revelation. There's a well down on the inside of you. There's a living water, a river of life down on the inside of you. All you've got to do is draw from the well that God's put inside of you. David begins to cry, but David's voice, under his voice, I can hear him begin to mumble, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. I cried to my God for help, and he heard me." I can hear David begin to mumble under his breath, "I will magnify the Lord at all times. I will greatly lift his name at all times." Oh, but David, what about your family? What about your children? "I will magnify the Lord. Let everything that that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Let everything that's within me praise ye the Lord. Let everything in my spirit praise the Lord. I can imagine as David began to get anointed, David said his praise will continually be from my mouth. I will magnify the Lord at all times. Don't you realize, brother, sometimes that's what we need to do. Don't put a magnifying glass on your problem. Put a magnifying glass on your God. Put a magnifying glass on His promises. Don't let the devil blow up your problems. Put a magnifying glass on the scripture that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you to the end of the world. I'll be a God of comfort and peace and help in the time of need. I can imagine David saying, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at me and are radiant, their faces are now never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. That's the words of David. This poor man cried unto God, and the God of heaven heard this poor man's cry. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and heard me cry. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after Thee, O God. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. Where does my help come from? The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. I can imagine as the songs begin to rise from his body, from his mouth, as he begin to say, many are they increased that trouble me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for you in God, Selah. But I say, that's what the devil says. That's what the enemy says. But here's what I say. Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah! I can imagine David's voice begin to get louder as the anointing begin to encourage him. And David says, give me an ephod. And David takes the ephod and asks God, shall I pursue or shall I overtake? And God says, David, because you can encourage yourself in the Lord, here's the word of the Lord from you and my brother and my sister. When I studied for this sermon, God put these words upon my mouth and said, tell the people everything the devil has taken from them. You shall recover it all. Oh, hear the voice of God this morning. Everything the devil has taken, you shall recover it all. Oh, let your faith agree this morning. Say, everything the devil has taken from my family, from my children, I shall recover it all. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship Him, friends. Hallelujah. God began to anoint me with a sermon. Every time I went to my knees, God said, everything you have lost in your life, Jesus Christ gives it back to you. Everything that the devil's taken from you, David. Both great and small. And the Bible says emphatically, He restored every child, every son. Oh, listen, mother, that has that wayward child. Everything that the devil has taken from you, God will give it back. Listen to me, father. Everything that God, that the devil has taken from you, God will restore it back. Oh, let's stand to our feet this morning and give Him a praise offering. Oh, can we just worship Him here for a moment? Hallelujah. Maybe you have a hard time believing that tonight, to this morning, but I want you to raise a hand this morning and say, God, I want to encourage myself in the Lord this morning. Help me to believe everything that I've lost. I will recover it all. There won't be nothing great, nothing small, nothing too small for God. Listen, friends, there's nothing too small for God. God remembers the little things and the big things. And there's nothing that the devil can take from you that God doesn't get it right back. There's nothing that the devil can rob from you. Say this morning, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. As David said, you are my hiding place. You fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I feel your presence so strong right now, Lord. God, it's here this morning for not for the unbeliever, but for the believer. For the believer that will believe it, everything that they've lost, God will give it back. Everything that the devil's robbed them of in their mind, in their youth, in their childhood, their husband, their wife, whatever it is, God gives it back. God told David, you shall recover it all. All that you've lost, both great and small. He told David, every child you've lost, every boy, every girl, every young person, listen to me, friend. When we go in the rapture of that great day, there won't be one person missing at that wedding table. We're not going to lose one of them, as Moses told Pharaoh. We're going out of Egypt with a high hand. We're not going to leave hoof, not cattle, not old, not young. I don't care what the circumstances look like. Take courage. God sent me here this weekend to tell you that. Everything. I don't care how dark. I don't care how black. I don't care how impossible. God will give it back. God will restore whatever you've lost. Oh, you should worship Him this morning for that. You should say, thank you, God. I believe it, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen to your word, oh God. If He's robbed you of your joy, God gives it back. If He's robbed you of your sincerity, God gives it back. If He's robbed you of your fire and your zeal for the Lord, God gives it back. Oh, everything that the enemy has taken, God restores. Everything that the devil has taken captive, and devil has taken many things captive. Friends, you can think this morning there's many things in your life that the devil's taken captive, but it's time to believe the word of the Lord. Everything, David, that you've lost, you shall recover it. Oh, I worship you this morning with these people. Lord, we lift our voices and our hands to you this morning. We lift our voices, let it be heard from the earth to the heaven. Lord, as you hear the whispers, as you hear the voices, as you hear the voices of men, of fathers, Lord, many like David who've lost many things. But Lord, hear the voices and the cries of your people today. We worship you, Lord, in thanksgiving we rejoice. We will encourage ourselves in the Lord. In the nighttime, we will praise you. In the daytime, we will praise you. When it's hard, we will praise you. Oh, as David said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I will magnify the Lord at all time. I will boast in the Lord and His righteousness at all times. I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. All my springs are in you, O God, and from you comes deliverance and help. Lord, in you, in your holy hill, comes help in the time of trouble. You're an ever-present help in the time of need. When it seems impossible, you make a way in the wilderness. You put a stream when there's no water. You give us manna from heaven when we're hungry. You feed us when we're hungry. You give us water to drink when we're thirsty. Oh, you are my portion. This morning, you are my portion. Oh, you are my portion, Lord Jesus. You are what I seek. You are everything, as David said. My hope is in you. You are my hiding place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into and are saved. Oh, let us be saved this morning as David prayed the prayer. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Oh, David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou heart, my heart disquieting within me? Hope thou in God. Trust in His promises, for His words are ever true. His promises are from everlasting to everlasting. The world will fail, but He will never fail. The world will shake, but He's unshakable. The world will lose its foundation, but He's the ultimate foundation in whom there's no crack, there's no, Lord, undermining. You are a solid foundation we can stand upon this morning. Amen. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord praise Him this morning. Amen. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord worship Him this morning. Oh, let those who are weary. Oh, as the song says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the rich, let the poor say, I am rich for what the Lord has done for us. Let all those praise the Lord. For Thou, Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory.
Glory, you're the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou.
Praise offering this morning. Oh, let's worship Him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We magnify the Lord. Oh, we magnify You. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the God of heaven heard this poor man. Oh, I was in distress. I was in turmoil. I couldn't find any encouragement from anybody. But down inside of me was a river of life. And I began to draw from that river. And the Bible says, God said, David, you'll recover everything. Hallelujah. All I want you to tell that to the devil this morning. I don't care what it looks like. Say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the circumstance. I shall recover everything that I've lost. I shall recover everything that I've lost. Oh, if you need a touch from God, come to this altar this morning. I'll make the invitation. If you don't know Him this morning, if you don't know Jesus, well, that may sound simple and old and from yesterday, but God's still saving. If you don't have that peace of God that passes understanding, I invite you to come to this altar this morning. Come and know Him in the power of His resurrection. Don't put off tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off tomorrow, for you don't know what will happen tomorrow. If you don't know Him this morning, come and know Him. If you don't know Him as Savior, come and meet Him. If you don't know Him as the Spirit of God that baptizes with fire, He still baptizes with fire this morning. Oh, if you're looking for restoration, come to this altar this morning. Backslider, if you've fallen away and you've dwelt in Ziklag, come back to Jerusalem today. Come back and say, God, let me encamp myself in the army of the living God, on the front line fighting for my King. If you've taken a backseat this morning, won't you come to the front line this morning? Could we sing that song, He's in the House, Death Has to Flee? You believe He's in the house? Death has to flee. Because He's here. At the mention of the name Jesus. I said at the mention of the name Jesus. Every demon spirit trembles and quakes and has to flee.
Little girl was lying there.
Oh, think about it.
People all weep. They just laughed at Jesus.
When he said,
she's only sleeping.
Oh yes. But as he took her,
as he took her by the hand,
life
she
began
to live again.
Oh yes.
Some began to praise the Lord.
But some began to say,
some began to say, touched this heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Praise His name. death and flee. Now there is light where my darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. Praise His. Like that little girl, dead in all our sins. But Jesus touched this heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. I live to praise His name. He's in the house. Death had to flee.
Just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, He's in the
sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe, safe am I. gifted me. Love gifted me. When nothing else could have, love lived in me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. So love, love, oh love, love, oh when you know love, love lived in me. Oh, love, it was love lifting me. Oh, when nothing else could help. Love lived in me now. All my heart to him I give. Said it my queen. In his blessed presence live. Ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true. Merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him. Long, so it was his love lifted me. Oh, when nothing. Oh, love, it was his love that lifted me. Oh, when nothing else could help.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice in the Lord. Always.
Always.
And again, I say rejoice.
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
Is there a song in your heart? Oh, there might not have been before the service, but today say, Lord, thank you for the joy of the Lord is my strength. The name of the Lord is a strong tower where the righteous run into and are saved. Let me tell you something, my brother and my sister. God is never changing. He's unchangeable. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care what you have need of, whether you came to this altar or not. Believe. Believe. Say, Lord, I believe. Put that hand up there. Say, here's my request. It's represented behind this hand. Maybe it's different for you. Don't raise it to me. Raise it to God. And believe when you raise that hand, God will have, will grant you the desire of your heart. Lord Jesus, we raise our hands with these people today. Lord, we keep our hands lifted up. Lord, behind that hand is represented a need. And God, man can't meet those needs, but we need the need meter. We need the way maker. Father, we need the God who's the God of the impossible. Lord, we believe in faith that nothing's impossible. Nothing shall stand in your way. Oh God, so we bind our faith together Hallelujah. This morning. Lord, may as the word of the Lord came from an ephod to David. May it tell us in our hearts today. May we hold on to the promise. Oh, that the devil's taken. I shall recover it all.
Yes.
Let us not look to the left or to the right. Let us not look to the things that we see that are disturbing. Let us not look to the things that we don't see that we think we should. Let us look to one thing, a promise that you gave us. A promise in your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Sarah, the Bible says, grew strength, not in her condition,
yes,
not
Lord.
By looking in the mirror, because in the mirror we don't grow strength. But the Bible says she grew strength because she knew the man who made the promise was more than able to keep his own word. You made a promise today to us as your children, Lord. And I pray that promise upon these people. My peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves. But my peace is a peace that passes understanding. My peace is a peace that'll come in the midst of your fiery furnace. Lord, as we said last night, there's no such a thing as a Christian, a man of God, or a son or daughter of God who desires the Lord Jesus. There's no such thing as one who doesn't go through troubles. There's no such thing as one who doesn't go through trials, Lord, but we're a people who are very used and accustomed to fiery furnaces. We're used to deep waters. We're used to long nights pleading in prayer. Father, but in you we find our help. In you we find our refuge. For you are closer than a brother. You're closer than a mother, a father. You're everything to us. We bless your name this morning. We pray, oh God, we would leave this building encouraged. Father, for every person that's here today, God, may they be encouraged this morning by the word of God. We ask it, Lord. And the church says,
amen.
And the church says,
amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Then the master, but the master of the sea, heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Now let's go up. Take it up, brother. Give me that next verse, brother.
All my heart to him.
Let's clap our hands.
Ever to him I'll cling.
Oh, in his blessed,
in his blessed presence, him. Ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Oh, love. His love that lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus so completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of his angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior, he wants to be saved today. Oh, thank God. Oh, when nothing else could help, was his love. Oh, love. Because when nothing else could help, love lived in me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Ain't God good? He gives us so many blessings. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make. We're going to let you go. I guess I'm supposed to dismiss, so maybe I'll just dismiss you as we sing the song. I'm the evangelist. I'm not the pastor, so amen. You love the Lord? Has his word been a benefit to you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing as we go.
He knows my name.
Oh, yes.
Every step that I take.
Every move.
Every move that I make.
Every tear.
Every tear that I cry.
Oh, he knows.
He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by
can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
Counts the stars one and all. He knows
oh, yes.
how the sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls.
He made the mountain and the seas.
He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small.
And He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
I don't know what tomorrow
brings, can't tell you what's in store, I don't know a lot
oh, yeah.
of things.
I don't have all the answers to all the questions of life.
But I know in whom I have believed.
And He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that
tomorrow will bring.
Yes, sir.
I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things.
I don't know a lot of things.
I don't have all the answers to the questions of life.
I just don't know.
But I know in whom I have believed. And He knows my name.
I know that He knows.
Every move that I make, every tear that I cry,
Jesus knows my name.
By the pain,
I can't see the light of day.
I know I'll be just fine,
'cause He knows my name.
Every step that I take,
every look that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain,
can't see the light of day,
I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls.
Every little sparrow.
He made the mountains and the sea. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name. Every step that I take. Every move that I make.
Every tear that I've ever cried.
He knows my name.
He knows
I'm
my
overwhelmed
name.
By the pain.
He knows my name.
I can't see the light of day.
I'm so bad.
I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name.
He knows.
Every step that I take. Every move that I make. Every tear I cry.
Every tear.
knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be
just fine.
Wonder what tomorrow will bring.
I don't know.
I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things.
I don't know.
I don't know the answers
to the
questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed.
Amen.
He knows my name.
Amen.
Every step that I take.
Every step I make.
Every move,
every move that I make.
Every
tear that I cry. He knows my name.
I'm overwhelmed by the pain.
The pain.
I can't see the light
of day. I can't see the light of day.
I know I will be just fine.
Because
every step that I take,
hallelujah.
Every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light. I know I'll be just fine.
I will be just fine because He knows.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, He will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand. Shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul even forevermore. My help, my the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. God bless you. To worship thee, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear,
sweet.